Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loughlin. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
I like it. Got a part of it. Fires left side. Got a man there. Stevie catch. Touchdown!
Really, we still got action.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Inside the 10. 5-yard line. C.J. Spiller!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO. Joining Murph tonight is Buffalo Bills sixth round pick, kicker Dustin Hopkins, Buffalo Bills color commentator Mark Kelso, and Mike Giannitti from SpotTrack.com. That and your phone calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
This place is pandemonium!
Touchdown, Buffalo! Leotis McKelvin brings it all the way back!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're live at the stadium where there's a lot going on tonight. It's kind of a good feeling. The players, now it's rookies. The young guys are back, kind of bouncing off walls. Guys who've never been here before, guys who've never been in Buffalo before, just kind of making their way around. I can't tell you how many times I got stopped on the hallway today, well, two or three, by somebody, a young guy saying, hey, how do I get to, or where's the staircase, where's the elevator? It's kind of a good feeling. Fresh blood at One Bills Drive. As the rookies get to One Bills Drive for this week's rookie minicamp, it starts tomorrow on the field, although the players are here, most of them arriving in town today, going through a battery of kind of tests and, equipment checks, making sure they have equipment that fits, making sure that they're ready to hit the field tomorrow. They'll have meetings tonight and then be on the field, they'll be in meetings in the morning tomorrow and then on the field at 2:30 in the afternoon. We're going to talk with one of those rookies, an intriguing prospect, Dustin Hopkins, Bills kickoff man and field goal specialist, drafted in the sixth round out of Florida State. He'll be with us in studio in just a few minutes here in this first hour. Second hour, you heard the lineup, Mark Kelso. We haven't talked with Mark other than a brief cameo appearance last week after the draft. I think he was on the air for about 5 minutes of it, and he talked for about 4 minutes and 55 seconds of those 5 minutes. He'll be with us with all kinds of time to talk tonight at 8 o'clock tonight. Mark Kelso, Coach Kelso, his thoughts on the Bills offseason, his thoughts on the USA Football Initiative for Heads Up Football, the NFL partnering with USA Football to teach young football players, youth football players, how to tackle, how to properly protect their heads. And who better to talk about that than Mark Kelso? He's just back from a two-day seminar in Indianapolis with USA Football. He is the Buffalo Bills representative to the Heads Up Football Initiative, and we'll talk with Mark Kelso about that as well. And at 8:20, Mike Giannitti joins us. He is a – I didn't realize – I mean, I found a website that he writes, SpotTrack, that deals with salaries, and he wrote an interesting, thoughtful piece on the Jarris Bird salary issue with the Buffalo Bills. And then I did a little more research and realized Mike Giannitti is right around the corner from us here. He works here in Orchard Park, lives in Orchard Park, and runs his website out of Orchard Park, SpotTrack, dealing with not just football salaries, but salaries from all over professional sports. And again, some interesting thoughts on the Jarris Bird contract situations. We'll talk with Mike Giannitti about his website and about Jarris Bird, how he compares to some of the best safeties in the game, how his salary demands might compare. And he'll join us tonight at 8:20. As always, we have plenty of room for you, the listener, the caller. Give us a call. Phone lines open, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We went into this thinking about the rookies arriving here. And the next, this show and tomorrow night show, we're going to deal a lot with the rookies who are here. And you see these guys walking around the hall. You see them getting fitted for equipment. By the way, some great pictures at BuffaloBills.com about with some of these rookies getting fitted for helmets. Kiko Alonso trying on a helmet, shoes for Robert Woods, just kind of making their way around the building today. Make sure you check out the photo gallery at BuffaloBills.com. But the question comes up, how many of these rookies are ready to make an impact for the 2013 Buffalo Bills? How many do you think, and who would they be? I mean, I can rattle off a couple of names of guys that I think are going to be making a contribution, if not starting. I've got four potential starters for the Bills on my list of rookies, the guys who are here today, tonight, and tomorrow. And let me run them down for you. E.J. Manuel, potentially a starter. Certainly going to be a focal point in training camp for the Bills. Kiko Alonso, chance to be a starter, if not get significant playing time. The linebacker, the outside linebacker drafted by the Bills in the second round a couple of weeks ago. Robert Woods, wide receiver, I think many of us expect him to be in the starting lineup on opening day in a couple of months. Derek Rogers, wide receiver, free agent signee, I think has a strong chance to, if not be a starter, be a third wideout. Same could be said for Marquise Goodwin, one of the third-round pick this year. And I think, did I mention Dustin Hopkins, the kicker? Yeah, he's going to be, you would think, going to be at a strong chance to be, if not the kickoff specialist, then the overall kicker for this team. So add them up. That's four potential starters, a couple of others who potentially could be strong contributors on the offensive side of the ball out of the first-year players, the rookies, here at One Bills Drive. What's your number? How many rookies will contribute for the Bills this year? How many would you like to see? How many is too many? I mean, if a lot of rookies are playing, maybe the expectations, the performance level would be down. And which rookies do you think will be the contributors for the Bills this coming season? 4 months away from opening day, the rookie minicamp is here. The building is filled with about 25 or 30 young guys, rookie and first-year players, who are here for the three-day rookie minicamp. And which of those players and how many of those players do you think will be contributors, perhaps even starters, for the Buffalo Bills this year? Give us a call if you have a thought on that. Phone lines open, 803-0550, the number, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. You can follow us on Twitter, at John Murphy Show, if you'd like to tweet in your thoughts on that. I mean, Manuel, is he a lock to start? I read somebody recently wrote that the job is his to lose. Somebody asked me that question the other day. I wouldn't put it in those terms just yet. I mean, we haven't seen him on the field yet. But I do think he'll get a chance to compete and a chance to maybe be the starter here on opening day, E.J. Manuel. I do think Robert Woods, a starting job, I would say, is probably his to lose in that wide receiver core, the second-round pick out of Southern California. I think Kiko Alonso, if he doesn't start, is going to have a major role to play in that defense based on what they have at linebacker and what they're going to try to do with the multiple looks they're going to provide at linebacker. I think the kicker, Dustin Hopkins, has a chance to be the kicker for this team. So that's four potential starters. A couple of other players who I think at least, a couple of wide receivers who at least have a chance to be contributors this year, big contributors. Marquise Goodwin, the third-round pick out of Texas, and Derek Rogers, the rookie undrafted free agent out of Tennessee Tech. Those would be my guys. Those would be my six players who I think have a chance to be major contributors as rookies for the Buffalo Bills this year. There are others, though, that you may want to think about. Duke Williams, the safety. A lot of people like what Duke Williams has to offer for this team. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Maybe Chris Gregg, the tight end, maybe he plays a role for the Bills this year. Let us know what you think via telephone. Lines are open. 803-0550, the number. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at John Murphy Show. The rookies in the building, in town, most of them arriving today. Contract work they're getting down to business of football for some of these rookies, and we expect announcements at some point over the next day or two on some of these contracts being signed. The rookies take the place of the veterans who have been here for the last several weeks for the off-season conditioning program. I want to direct your attention to the website, too. Chris Brown wrote an outstanding article about the Bills conditioning program, which has gone on here since April 2nd, so they're in their fifth week. And he talks about the competitive aspects of the Bills conditioning program. Chris talked to some of the veteran players who were here and got their thoughts on what they're doing in the weight room, on the workouts, on the field as they get into the fifth week of their off-season conditioning program. All voluntary, obviously, but just the way the coaching staff and the strength and conditioning staff has structured that for the Bills over the last 5 weeks, making it competitive. Point totals for certain targets, a leaderboard that shows how each group, they've split them up into teams, how each group is done in the workout room. You may want to look at that. It's a pretty good article that Chris Brown posted at BuffaloBills.com, and it is up as of this morning. And the Bills made one announcement today in regard to preseason. The 13th annual Kids Day game is coming up again this year on Friday, August 16th, the first home preseason game. Friday, August 16th, the Bills play the Minnesota Vikings. That is going to be the annual Kids Day game featuring youth-themed tailgating, an exclusive game day giveaway, interactive games, face painting, the Jills, Billy Buffalo, post-game fireworks. Kids Day coming up on Friday, August 16th, the first of the two home preseason games against the Minnesota Vikings, the 13th annual Kids Day. That announcement coming out today. All right, as we said, there is contract work going on right now with some of these draft picks who have arrived in town. But around the league, contracts are being signed and agreed to fairly early, it seems to me, this year. I mean, rookie minicamps kicking off Friday, tomorrow around the league, and teams are already getting their draft picks under contract. Philadelphia Eagles signed their second rounder, tight end Zach Ertz, today, and four other rookies today. Fifth-round safety Earl Wolf and a couple of seventh rounders, defensive end Joe Kruger and cornerback Jordan Poyer. Zach Ertz, who you would think has a role to play in the Eagles' new offense under Chip Kelly, 6'5", tight end, should be a mismatch for defenses in the NFL, much as he was at Stanford. He has agreed to terms on a contract, four of them, four rookie draft picks agreeing to terms with the Eagles. As we said, we expect announcements, similar announcements, from the Buffalo Bills over the next 24 to 36 hours. Contract announcement coming from the New England Patriots today. They continue to stockpile wide receivers. Patriots have signed former Tennessee Titans receiver Lavelle Hawkins today. And Hawkins made just four starts over 5 years with Tennessee. Tennessee picked up Kevin Walter in free agency. Hawkins was the fourth-round pick of the Titans in 2008. Over the years, 71 catches, 771 yards, one touchdown. He was a good special teamer for the Titans, and maybe he can do that in Foxborough for the New England Patriots. Lavelle Hawkins signs a contract with the New England Patriots. They've got a crowded field at wide receiver as they attempt to replace Wes Welker. They have, of course, Danny Amendola, a free agent who has an injury history, but Julian Edelman returns for the New England Patriots. Rookie draft pick Aaron Dobson is there. Another rookie, Josh Boyce. Michael Jenkins is in there at the receiver spot. Donald Jones, a former Buffalo Bill. They're lining up some players there at receiver for the New England Patriots, and they added another one to the mix today as Lavelle Hawkins, former Tennessee Titans, agrees to terms with the New England Patriots. Big retirement in the league today. The news leaked out the other day. 16 years in the league, all of it with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and safety Rondae Barber announced his retirement at a news conference at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Bucs co-chairman Joel Klazer said Rondae Barber is synonymous with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, establishing himself as one of the franchise's iconic players over a 16-year career. They say he is Hall of Fame worthy. He just might be. Rondae Barber news conference today to talk about his decision and talked about the reasons why he decided to step down at this point.
I'd be lying if I said I made it today. I didn't. I made this decision. I made it about a month ago, and I was pretty certain that it was the right decision. I'd love to say I did this on my own, but I didn't. You know, the best thing a player can have is a great family. And I do. And it starts at home with me, my mom. She's not here. It was funny. I talked to her yesterday. She said, I've been watching you boys play for 32 years. You know, all the way back to rec league. She said, now I finally get to retire too. I had the most motivation any player could have, because I had a great twin brother. He was my inspiration more than I probably ever say. And I almost wanted him to succeed more than I wanted myself to succeed. And I love him. I love everything that he is and what he's become. But I'm a great football player because he was a great football player. And I think he would say the same about me.
Rondae Barber talking about his brother Tiki, who retired a couple of years ago. Five-time Pro Bowl selection, 47 career interceptions. He is Tampa Bay's leader in interceptions, and eight defensive touchdown returns leads the franchise as well. His best moment, the 2003 NFC Championship game, when he had a 92-yard interception return that clinched the Bucs' win over the Philadelphia Eagles. The Bucs went on to beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl that year. He's 38 years old. Rondae Barber moved to free safety last year after playing cornerback for most of his entire career. And he talked at his emotional news conference today about when he first got started in the NFL.
You know, I loved my first year in the league. And I didn't say it, I don't say it, I didn't say it then, but I say it now. I had a coach in Tony Dungy who I knew believed in me. He's told me since, even though I didn't believe it at the time. I had a defensive back coach in Herm Edwards who was ridiculously in love with my ability to play, and he stuck by me. I had a defensive coordinator in Monty Kiffin who allowed me to become the player I am by letting me define the position that I played. He had great assistants that I'll never forget, with Rod and Lovey, and God, Mike T came along, changed my career. Raheem, who was one of my best friends, ended up being my coach for a couple of years. Jimmy Lake, Rich Bisacci, who was our special teams coach, who still calls me a prick every day. I'm not sure why. And I won a Super Bowl with the great, great head coach in John Gruden. I'd be lying if I said I didn't appreciate every single thing that those guys gave me.
Rondae Barber announcing his retirement today at the age of 38. 16 years with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hey, by the way, the NFL Network tonight, this goes under the heading of Bills News. They're going to continue their series, the Top 100 Players of 2013. And that continues tonight at 8 o'clock on the NFL Network. Players ranked number 80 through 71 will be unveiled tonight. And this all comes about as a vote from current NFL players. They vote on who these players are. Buffalo Bills have a player in this group at number 72. The top 100 players, the Bills have a player at number 72. They won't let us tell you who it is, but it's coming up tonight, 8 o'clock on the NFL Network. The top 100 players of 2013, they've already unveiled numbers 100 through 81. Tonight goes number 80 through 71, and the Bills have a player at number 72. That comes on the air at 8 o'clock tonight. Well, the Tim Tebow thing has really taken off in Jacksonville. It's kind of wild. You probably heard the attempt to put together a petition for the White House website by an Orlando lawyer trying to push for the Jacksonville Jaguars to sign Tim Tebow. The White House website rejected that, which they should. Well, now there's diehard Jacksonville fans who think that they don't want Tim Tebow. Bold City Brigade calls itself a new age Jacksonville Jaguars booster club. They have a website, evenifhesreleased.com. and they want to make sure that the Jaguars do not sign Tim Tebow. They have 31,000 clicks on their website, endorsements, they say, from real Jaguars fans that don't need Tim Tebow. Bold City Brigade, a two-year-old fan site in Jacksonville. The site went live late Wednesday in response to the radio ads that Orlando attorney John Morgan aired, urging the Jaguars to sign Tim Tebow. Now another group says, we don't need Tim Tebow. Unbelievable. How does Tim Tebow generate that sort of reaction? I mean, websites and attorney buys an ad and trying to get the White House to act on it. Just crazy. One more interesting and kind of offbeat NFL note. The Washington Redskins. Are you offended by the name Redskins? Some people are. But Redskins owner Daniel Snyder says, forget about it. He is not going to change the name. He told USA Today this week, quote, we will never change the name of the team. This is Daniel Snyder talking. As a lifelong Redskins fan, he said, and I think the Redskins fan understands the great tradition, what it's all about, what it means. So we're pretty fortunate just to be working on next season. Dan Snyder asked if he would reconsider his stance if the team loses an ongoing federal trademark lawsuit. His answer, we'll never change the name, Dan Snyder said. It's that simple. Never. You can use caps. Dan Snyder making it pretty clear that the Washington Redskins nickname is here to stay. All right, so that's what's going on around the Bills and around the NFL today. As we said, the rookies are in. The rookies are here. Meeting tonight, the rookies will be on the field for a rookie workout starting tomorrow. We managed to corner one of the rookies tonight, Dustin Hopkins, the Bills kicker, sixth-round draft pick from Florida State. He's going to be sitting in the studio with us a moment from now, so come back for that. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Welcome back. We're at One Bills Drive and joining us in studio, Buffalo's sixth-round draft choice, the kicker from Florida State, Dustin Hopkins. Thank you very much for coming by, Dustin. We appreciate it.
John, thanks for having me. Hey, glad to be here.
You just touched down today. You ever been to Buffalo before?
Never before. I've never been this far north except for, really? I mean, I guess New York City's close. But yeah. Well, close and far away at the same time. But.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're pretty far north now. In fact, you're pretty close to Canada.
Yes,
you've
sir.
Never been to Canada probably either.
No, never. I'll get that stamp on my passport, though, here soon, hopefully.
What do you think? You probably just have been here a few hours. Any initial impressions of One Bills Drive so far?
I mean, all of them are good.
Yeah.
As I'm flying in, it's since I've never been here, I didn't know what to expect. And seeing all the greenery and how, I mean, lush, for lack of a better term, everything was. Yeah. You know, kind of surprising. So everything
in the back of your mind, did you think there might be a little snow still on the ground?
You know, I was hearing there's a ski resort nearby that gets like a lot of snow that might even still have some today. Yeah. But no, I didn't think so.
No, yeah, you caught us on a pretty good day and a pretty good stretch of weather here. Tell me about the routine today. It seems like you guys have been very busy since the draft picks and rookies have walked through the door here.
Right. Yes. Very busy. I mean, they we came through right off the plane. They picked us up. We put our bags by our lockers, got equipment taken care of, got medical stuff taken care of. Then we got, let's see what else, make sure concussion is all good, which is pretty easy for me, you know, all things considered.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what else? I think that's about it. Oh, took some pictures.
Yes,
sir.
Dental work.
Yes.
Yeah, for the mouth.
I didn't gag this time, you know. In college, sometimes it gives me a tough time.
So basically, and then tomorrow, you guys hit the field. What do they have planned for the kickers and for the specialists? Do you know what you'll be doing?
I would be lying to you if I told you something. I'm just, I'm just happy to get to kick, you know, while we're here. So I'm glad to go actually play. It's been a while.
You know, I was reading about your background, Dustin. Growing up in Houston, Texas area, right?
Yes, sir.
You decided fairly early on that you wanted to be a kicker, like 13, 14 years old, right?
Something like that. Growing up, I never would have thought I would just kicked.
Yeah.
I played a position through my senior year in high school, but my freshman year, so I was about 15, was okay. When I thought, like, hey, maybe I might be able to do this in college and get my education paid for, or even go on to the pros. So that was the first time I had the inclination that, man, this could work, you know.
It's worked out pretty well. And I understand at that age, 14, 15, you started going to kicking camps, including one in Wisconsin you sort of latched on to,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I went to Sailor, Chris Sailor's Kicking, and he's based out of California. And then I went to a lot of Jamie Cole's camps, the Cole's Kicking camps out of Wisconsin. And they're great family friends now, just going to them over the years and learning and kind of just honing in your craft as opposed to just having like being a strong leg.
Yeah.
They've helped tremendously.
And what goes on at those kicking camps? I mean, I've heard of them, but I'm not really familiar with them.
Well, it's funny. You know, you wouldn't think that kicking camps would be very competitive, but, I mean, you have guys that come out from everywhere around the country, go out and kick, and it's kind of like it's a combine for kickers, you know, and you just test field goals and kickoffs and all those numbers, and then you match yourselves up against everybody in the country. And so it gives colleges and other people a good barometer of how good you really are.
And it's there's instruction, right? And technique, I would think that would be a big part,
yes,
of these kicking camps.
Yes. Well, I guess there's different kind of camps. They'll have instructional camps,
okay,
that you go and you try to get better, and they don't rank you or anything like that. And then you have camps that are specifically like, I'm going here to get ranked and get looked at by colleges and things like that.
And how did Cole's kicking camp help you? What was the biggest thing that did for you? And you're still affiliated with them. You still work with them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like I kind of mentioned a second ago, I was just a guy with a leg. I didn't really have much technique. So they've helped tremendously with my accuracy and helping me stay in control of my body rather than, you know, swinging through and falling way off to the left or lifting my head too early and therefore like mishitting a ball or something like that.
You know, it's funny when I think of the kickers who've come through here, every one of them almost to a man, and, you know, I go back a ways, but they're talking about Scott Norwood or Steve Christie or Ryan Lindell. They all talk about the fundamentals, and Norwood in particular used to talk about the fundamentals of like a golf swing. It was kind of similar to a golf swing.
Yeah,
do you approach it like that?
I've heard that analogy, and it applies, but it doesn't at the same time,
yeah,
you know, because I feel like, you know, workout-wise, it's almost like pitching. Because it's like, you know, you gotta, like, a pitcher can't throw every day because he's got to protect his arm. Just like,
right,
kicking, you can't kick every day. You got to protect your leg. But in a golf swing, the actual movement, it's similar in that, like, you know if you hit it pure or not pretty soon, sure, after you hit it, just like when you hit a golf shot. And, and you got to keep your head down, same thing.
Yeah.
So there's things that carry over, but obviously there's some differences.
You're coming out of high school, Clear Lake High School in the Houston area, and you have a chance to go to Notre Dame, Missouri, Kansas State, or Florida State. Why Florida State for you?
University of Texas and Texas A&M had kickers the year before I came out. So, you know, the way colleges work, they don't want a scholarship, two guys back-to-back, just kind of waste a scholarship. So schools outside of the state were looking because they knew I was probably going to leave the state.
So your first choice would have been Houston or Texas back then? I mean, that would have been...
Not Houston. I mean, I say nothing against Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
But
oh, Texas A&M or Texas.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Just growing up, I was when I was real young, I was a Texas fan. And then as I got a little older, become more of a Texas A&M fan. But, so those were first choices. But after those kind of passed by, it just broadened some horizons.
Florida State, first game against the arch rivals, the Miami Hurricanes.
Yes, sir.
They didn't waste long to put you to the test, right? You had a 52-yard field goal attempt.
Yes, sir. I was really glad at that attempt too, because I didn't want like a 30-yarder or something, because you know if you miss it, people are like, yeah, who is this kid? Get him out of there. You know?
Yeah. You're on a short leash.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Especially, you know, and when I was younger, I cared more about like what those fans thought, because I don't know, I was just new to the team and everything. And, you know, when that 52-yard attempt came up, I was like, okay, you know, it's a win-win. If I make it, it's like, just we could be talking about it, you know, 4 years later like we are right now. or it's like, hey, give the kid a break. It's 52. Like, he'll come around. So, I was very pleased. I was blessed to have that 52-yard attempt rather than a 29 or something.
We're talking with Dustin Hopkins, the Bills kicker, their sixth-round pick out of Florida State, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Dustin is in with the rest of the rookies who are here for the rookie minicamp. They hit the field tomorrow. Well, the 4 years at FSU, Dustin, obviously things went really well for you. Talk about the highlights, maybe your greatest moments at Florida State.
Yes, sir. I guess that Miami kick would be one of them that we just talked about. First one, 52-yard attempt, and having made it, it just made it that much better. And then ones I remember would be a Clemson kick my sophomore year was a game winner. And then for some reason, one sticks with me in NC State like 2 years ago when we played up there, and it was, I think there were only like 4 minutes left, and it was a close game. We ended up losing, but I don't know, it was just it always sticks with me. And then let's see what else. The field goal versus Duke this year was a 56.
Yeah.
And that was kind of cool. I got a penalty, which is usually not good. It was the delay of game. And coach let me stay in. He was like, go ahead and kick it anyway. So
that was on you. You had to make it then.
Yeah, exactly.
Kickoffs. How big a part of your game are kickoffs? And what are your goals for kicking off? Do you always look for touchbacks?
In college, we didn't at all. In college, they kind of changed up the mindset coaching-wise because the touchback comes back to the 25.
Right.
So they're trying to have me hang it up. But here, I'm assuming, I haven't talked to the coaches at length at all, but that we would go for touchbacks given that it goes to the 20. And it's a huge part of the game. If you're being paid to do something, you know, you got to be good at it, and that includes kickoffs. So go for those touchbacks. And I know it's real important because those hidden yardage situations are ones that people often don't see in the stands.
Sure.
But when you break down the game and everything that happens, it plays a huge factor. So
when you left FSU, you were the all-time leading scorer in NCAA history. Talk about how, when you set your sights on that goal and how important that was to you.
I guess when I was my freshman year, I had missed. I was the number one rated kicker coming out of high school. And so I had some like lofty expectations attached to me at Florida State. And I had missed like 4 extra points my first 4 games at FSU, which was obviously not good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and it doesn't sound like a big deal. It's just a game. But that being said, when it's something that is such a big part of your life, you want to do well at it. You want to, you know, represent your family, your hometown, and the university. And that wasn't happening. So I kind of sat back home, and I was writing down stuff. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to be another just kicker that came here and went. I want to set records. I want to leave my own legacy, both off the field and on the field. And one of the on the field one was trying to you know, score as many points as I could and kick as many field goals as I could. And a lot of that speaks also to our offense putting us in position to kick those field goals, like EJ and coach having confidence in me. And then also just defensively, we've always been so good that we can pretty much hold them in their own territory, and then come back and kick a field goal.
Off the field, you were an academic All-American, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so was that one of your goals also?
It was. I just got it this past year, too, so okay. I was happy. I was that was one I was wanting for a long time.
And you got your degree a year ago.
Yes, sir. Actually, I'm just finishing up my last paper. Should be today. I'll be doing citations and stuff for my master's, and I'll be done with school forever. Well, I say that. We'll see.
What kind of degree are you going to get? Master's degree?
International affairs.
Okay. What do you have? Do you have any thoughts on where you might take that? If, you know, not that you.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm going to try to kick for a while. You know,
is here. Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna try to kick, but I don't know. I could see going in some form of like international ministry, or I could see doing some form of business, being like a liaison between two companies, probably preferably in like Latin America and the United States. But to be honest with you, I do not know what the Lord has in store. You know?
Well, you got, again, this job is right here in front of you.
Yes, sir.
Take us through draft weekend a couple of weekends ago. What was that like, and what was it like to get the call on Saturday of draft weekend?
It was exciting, to say the least. I had close, like a couple close friends, just like a buddy from college and a buddy from high school, and then my direct family, my mom, dad, sister, and my grandparents. So they were over, and we were just kind of eating, watching the TV, and the teams that I had worked out with and I talked to the most kind of came and went. And so I was like, oh, I'll pay attention back when they kind of are close to getting to coming up. And I had never talked to Buffalo at all before before the draft came up, before I got that call. Huh. So I had accidentally missed my call that they tried to call my cell phone, which is never good, you know?
Yeah.
They're not a good first impression, is it? But I'd missed that. For some reason, it didn't ring. I don't know if I had on vibrate or what the deal was. But then they called my house, and the way we have it set up, it pops on the TV, who's calling you.
Sure.
So it said Buffalo Bills, you know? And I ran in the study, answered the phone, and then the fax machine went off. And, you know, it wasn't good, but it was very exciting. It was like it's a culmination of work. You work your whole life toward, you know? It's a... You know, you're working toward this goal, and then to have it happen, you know, it was awesome just to be there with family and enjoy that time together. And but all that being said, you know, nothing's been accomplished really. I've got a lot of work to do, and obviously the job's not given away. I got to earn it. So Lindell's proved himself over, you know, a long body of work here, and obviously you can't not be talented and play in the league for 13 years. So I still got my work cut out for me. But at the same time, I'm here to compete.
Everybody's going to ask you about the weather. It's hard to believe on a day like this, but there is bad weather days.
Get out of here.
This is one of the windiest places in America.
What I'm hearing. You know, I was, you can choose to focus on the positive, or you can choose to focus on the negative. And, things that I can't control, I don't really think about because, you know, it doesn't do anybody good.
Right.
Especially me, if I'm out there kicking and thinking about like, I'm cold, it's windy.
Yeah.
I just gotta worry about what's in my hands and what I can do to better the team and then better what I'm doing on the field.
A lot of familiar faces for you around here. EJ Manuel, college teammate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Garrison Sanborn, an FSU guy, and your old holder, Sean Powell,
is
here as a punter. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, I think we have like six guys here.
Yeah.
It's very cool having familiar faces that you can kind of go to and at least, if nothing else, have a bunch of people to introduce you to other people.
Sure.
You know, so that'll help hopefully getting to know guys better. And, you know, it'll feel like home a little bit in that you'll have friends around.
Dustin, we wish you well. Thank
Pleasure.
You for doing
Thank
this with
us.
Thank
you for having
us.
Me again.
Yeah, no problem. Yes, we'll do it again sometime. Dustin Hopkins, the kicker for the Buffalo Bills, 6th-round draft pick out of FSU. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
It's good to talk with Dustin Hopkins, a bright young man. How about that? He got his degree at Florida State in 3 years. Stayed on there, but got a degree in 3 years. Stayed on there to play his final year of eligibility, an undergraduate degree in media communication studies. And then he said he's got one paper to write to finish off his master's degree in international affairs. Pretty impressive young guy. Obviously, with his head on straight, getting ready to compete for the kicking job. And I do have to say, I like the way that Dustin Hopkins pays respect, and I don't think it's lip service, but he pays respect to what Ryan Lindell's managed to accomplish here in Buffalo over the better part of the last 10 years or so. And you got to. I mean, and Lindell is a formidable challenger for that job. You know, don't forget the Bills drafted a kicker last year, and he could not unseat Lindell because of Lindell's reliability, because of his track record, because of his production. Quite frankly, he's a very, very, very good kicker, and I look for that to be one of the major battles at training camp. Really, one of the major battles that the Bills will have at training camp. 10 years with the Bills for Ryan Lindell. Already on the list of one of the all-time kicking greats in franchise history, and now he'll face a challenge from 6th-round draft pick Dustin Hopkins, who appears to be ready for it as well. I hope we didn't scare him about the weather. The weather's not so bad. He can handle that. But our thanks to Dustin Hopkins, the Bills' 6th-round pick. He's here with all the rookies. They are here in town. They're in the building tonight, most of them, for meetings, and they'll be on the field at 2:30 tomorrow. We expect announcements over the next 24 to 36 hours about signings for some of these rookies as well, some of the draft picks. The free agents, obviously, have already been signed. And we hope to talk to some of the other players. You know, we think last week we had EJ Manuel on, obviously, when he was drafted. But last week we had a couple of the draft picks on the show, Robert Woods and Kiko Alonso. And Marquise Goodwin. So we'll get down in the other draft picks for the rest of the show tomorrow night and then early next week, and maybe even into some of the free agents, some of the interesting free agents like Jeff Toole, the quarterback from Washington State, and Derek Rogers, the wide receiver from Tennessee Tech. I keep hearing people telling me about Pugh, the linebacker, Howard University guy. A lot of people like him. Chris Brown wrote a lot about Justin Pugh, linebacker from Howard University. So we'll get with these guys. We'll get them in the studio and sit them down and talk with them and as they kind of get their feet wet in the NFL over these next few days here. Talking about rookies, and if you have thoughts on which rookies might make the Bills roster, might be starting or might be contributors, give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550, the number toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. I've got six names from the list of Bills rookies who I think will be contributors this year. I think have a good chance anyway to be contributors. I think three of them are probably going to be starters or at least get starting playing time. Robert Woods, the wide receiver from USC, I think is most likely a starter. Hopkins, I think, has a good chance to be a starting kicker here. Kiko Alonso, linebacker, I think has a good time to get at least starting playing time here. And, of course, E.J. Manuel has a chance as well. Marquise Goodwin, Derek Rogers, the wide receivers, I think both of them have a chance to be major contributors this year. But if you have thoughts on which of the rookies is going to be a factor for the Bills in the 2013 season, give us a call. Lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. 2:30 tomorrow, the rookies take the field for what Doug Marrone told us yesterday is likely to be mostly individual-type workouts, maybe not a whole lot of football scrimmage types. And it's rookies. It is the draft picks, the seven draft picks who will be on the field tomorrow. It is the undrafted free agents, some of whom names you already know, and a couple of players with a little bit of NFL experience, including wide receiver Chris Hogan, the former Miami Dolphin training camp star. Remember him from Hard Knocks with the Dolphins last year? Chris Hogan signed on with the Bills in the middle of last year. He's part of this weekend's rookie minicamp. Running back Zach Brown, who arrived here, last year as well, I believe, right? A free agent running back, yeah, signed last year from University of Pittsburgh. He is in this rookie minicamp this week. So those guys will be on the field with some of the others, and looking forward to getting a look at him on the field tomorrow. Here's a call from Jed in Tonawanda. Hi, Jed, you're on the air.
Hey, John.
How are you?
Good. Yeah, I think the receiver from USC is going to probably be the most used, valued of all the rookies.
Why do you say that?
Because I think there's a need for him. You know, I think there's a need for him. I think he fits in from what I understand, he's the most NFL-ready of all the receivers in the draft. That's what I've read.
Yeah, that's what people are saying about him, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to seeing him on the field tomorrow. That, and you're talking, obviously, about Woods, Robert Woods, who most people feel will be penciled into the lineup. Here's a call from Gary in East Amherst. Hi, Gary, you're on the air. Gary, hello, are you there, Gary? You're on the air. Last call for Gary. And that's Gary. Thanks, Gary. We'll try to get him on again at some time. But I didn't see Robert Woods today. I didn't see him walking around. I did see Derek Rogers, the Tennessee Tech wide receiver. Everybody, and this is just walking around the building, everybody who sees Derek Rogers is impressed by his size. On paper, 6'3", 205. He looks taller than that to me. He looks bigger than that to me. And I think he has a chance to, you know, be an interesting prospect to watch throughout these rookie workouts and into training camp. We'll talk more about the rookies. We're going to talk about the Bills offseason. We're going to talk about heads-up football. What's up with that? Mark Kelso, my broadcast partner on the Bills Radio Network, standing by. He'll join us next. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
I don't know what we're yelling about.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour 2 of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Coming up later this hour, we're going to talk about Jairus Byrd, his franchise tag, what it means as far as getting that deal done. Going to talk about it in terms of football analytics with Mike Jannitti of SpotTrack.com, a website that deals with football and baseball and basketball salaries. Mike Jannitti, Orchard Park guy. We're going to talk with him about the Jairus Byrd deal. We're going to talk a little bit about the Bills right now with a gentleman whose voice you're familiar with. He is the color analyst on Buffalo Bills Radio alongside me in the Bills broadcast radio booth, a longtime safety for the Buffalo Bills. He is also the Buffalo Bills ambassador to USA Football's Heads Up Football program. He is Mark Kelso on the line with us live. Mark, good evening. Good to talk with you, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, I'm getting excited just listening to you. Leon is my man.
Won't be long, buddy. You know, 4 months from yesterday is opening day. The Bills open up against the Patriots 4 months exactly from yesterday. We are right in the middle of the offseason. Can you believe that?
Yeah, well, the NFL has done a terrific job of prolonging the entire calendar year into football season with the combine and the draft and everything. And people are excited. I mean, I think the Bills did some nice things, and it's nice to see. It's nice to see the excitement, certainly. And I think the young players add some excitement when they come in and try to make a club and try to make their mark in the NFL, and a goal that they've had for a long time. So it's interesting to see. And then I got a comment on Jairus Byrd: sign a damn contract and get into camp. He's a leader on the defense. He's got to be the leader on the defense, or the defense is going nowhere. So sign a contract and get into camp. I mean, we're quibbling over $2 million here. I mean, I know $2 million is a lot of money, but not when you're making $6 or $7 million.
It's a lot of money. All right, you obviously you got a lot to talk about, but I want to, before we don't want to lose the Heads Up Football thing, Mark. You're just back from a 2-day session in Indianapolis as one of the Heads Up Football ambassadors set up for youth leagues this fall. It's an NFL program in conjunction with USA Football. Tell us what went on down there in Indianapolis, and what is the Heads Up Football program, and what's it all about, Mark?
Yeah, well, I mean, in a nutshell, I guess it's the National Football League has partnered with USA Football, which is the governing body of youth football across the country and on a national level, who has their headquarters in Indianapolis. And they put together a comprehensive program, and they discussed with a lot of people, a lot of coaches, about ways to teach tackling so that there's a consistent message. And it's a comprehensive program because the concussion issue in youth sports is, at the NFL level, is a real thing. It's not going away, and I think the NFL is trying to do its part to help mitigate that situation. And what they want to do with Heads Up Football is deliver a message of consistency and quality in regards to how young players tackle. And what they're doing is partnering with youth leagues around the country through USA Football, and in every partner. Well, I think about 100 leagues that have, I think, are the ones that are on target to actually have an ambassador. They'll train master coaches in the area so that there's a consistent delivery of the message on how they want these kids to tackle. And it's a technique that I've seen before. I've talked to my kids. Many high school coaches, I'm sure, have used this technique. But what they want to do is present a unified national message that this is the way to tackle, that they can create a situation where the kids can make a play, but with the least exposure to their head for a potential injury. And again, I think, some people, well, obviously there's people out there all over the place will say, well, the NFL is only doing it because of this or that. Well, what they're doing is trying to help young people enjoy playing this game and receive all the benefits, the character development, the camaraderie that comes with being a member of the team, that having a common goal. They're trying to help young kids realize all those positive traits while exposing themselves to the least possible chance of injury. And football is not the only youth sport where concussions occur, but I think the NFL is doing an admirable job of trying to face the problem and to try to deliver a solution so that moms and young players are not apprehensive about playing this great game.
Yeah, there's no question that, the litigation and the liability issues are there for the NFL and for all of football. But really, this is an attempt to keep the game alive, isn't it? To make sure that the proper techniques are employed so that people play football for years and years into the future. You got to salute that, I would think, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, they're protecting their market, absolutely. I mean, they want young kids to play the game because the more young people that play it, the more their parents are going to go. And when they become – you know, high school players or collegiate players. I mean, they're going to have an affection for this great sport, and they're going to support the sport and from a financial perspective. So there's no question, but I think I know the players that I was with. I mean, I think there were, I want to say again, there's going to be a player in every, one of 100 different youth leagues around the country that have signed up. Now, there's thousands of leagues that have signed up, by the way, but they have targeted 100 to try to place a player in that area. And then they'll have a master coach, which helps actually certify the coaches in every league that joins the USA Football this Heads Up initiative. And I think, I don't know the website, maybe Russ can Google it and you can pass that along to all the listeners as well. I think it's just usafootball.com, but there's an extensive information about concussions and about how to sign up for the program, how to get a master coach in your area, because all the coaches in leagues that sign up to participate have to go through the training, and then there's some online curriculum as well that they have to go through. So that there's a consistent message, but it's a multifaceted problem, and I think the NFL is trying to also offer a multifaceted solution. That's part of it. Concussion awareness is another part of it, making sure that leagues, youth leagues around the country establish proper reentry to play protocol, and particularly with what some of the physicians, I mean, there are medical professionals there as well, some that deal with the Colts organization, talking about one of the key things that they talk about is progressive intensity or progressive exertion training as you're coming back from a concussion. And if a kid has an incident, they can go to their pediatrician and he can recommend, he can either conduct those things or he can recommend a concussion clinic perhaps in the city where that youth organization is located. But there was information presented about that. We were on the field, going through techniques and making sure we understand how to deliver the message. And there was lots of good speakers and lots of good information about the problem and the fact that parents want their kids to play, although there is some apprehension, but what they want is for them to be able to play and realize all those positive benefits while at the same time offering the best possible protection from a skill standpoint, from a practice regimen standpoint, from a strength and conditioning standpoint, and also from a concussion management standpoint.
Hey, Mark, and one more question about this, the Heads Up Football. What about the equipment standpoint? I know that's something near and dear to you, the helmet itself, the equipment standpoint. And I read that somebody at the two-day conference in Indianapolis this week talked about just getting the helmet to fit right could go a long way towards lessening the impact of hits to the head.
Yeah, and they had shoulder pads there, and they had helmets, because that's one of the other things that they want to do is make sure there's some consistency and delivering the message about how that equipment needs to be fit. I mean, who ends up being the equipment manager at a youth program is the person who the organization feels has the most knowledge about it. So in East Aurora, when my kids were playing, it was me.
Yeah.
And I think I delivered a good message, not because I knew exactly what I was doing, but because I called Woody and I called all those guys over at the Bills organization and the equipment staff and said, how do I make sure that these kids have a proper fitting helmet? And there were some things that I was able to share at the conference about information that those guys, Jeff and Woody and those guys in the equipment room at One Bills Drive, because they play an integral part to the success of the team. And I was able to deliver some messages, things that they taught me, which USA Football didn't elaborate on those things. And I think, it's going to be a working document as well. But I think that's important, because the helmet only protects as well as it fits. And so they want to make sure that those things occur as well. And again, I think there's a lot of good things that have been happening. The helmet business is very interesting, and helmet companies continue to make improvements in the ability of a helmet to prevent or mitigate the forces. The only thing a helmet can do is mitigate the forces that can cause concussion. They can't stop a concussion, prevent a concussion. They have done a pretty good job of preventing skull fractures, which was their intended original purpose. But now that all the padding that's been added and different testing that's been done is helping to mitigate some of the forces that have the potential to cause concussion. But I do think, I mean, I'm a proponent certainly of the product that I wore, and I do think the helmet industry is going to see even continued significant improvement, particularly in the next 24 months.
On the line with Mark Kelso, my broadcast partner on the Bills Radio Network, talking about his participation as one of the NFL ambassadors in the USA Football Initiative, Heads Up Football. And we don't want to just focus on that, Mark, because I know based on your cameo appearance on the radio show last week, you have some strong thoughts about this Bills offseason so far. And let me get you back to Jarris Bird for a second, playing the position that you played. I know you know Jarris a little bit. He's out there with the franchise tender offer still unsigned, and I don't know that any damage has been done yet as far as Jarris missing significant time here. Tell me your take on that.
Yeah, well, and I would concur with that. I mean, Jarris is an intelligent young man. He's a man of faith. He's a high character man, and obviously he wants to send a message that he's not particularly happy that the Bills are a business and they're going to try to manage it and lock up players for the least amount they can and make sure that they, you know, that they play. And I, you know, he could have made more money in the open market. And quite frankly, I do think he's one of the top 10 guys in the league. But it is what it is. He's a leader of this defense. Again, I don't think any harm has been done to this point either, John, but I think that the young guys that are coming into this building need to see a guy like that who has the work ethic that he has, and he needs to be the leader of that defense. I mean, arguably one of the top two players on that defense. I mean, Mario Williams has the credentials. I think Kyle Williams is still, you know, the best defensive player that the Bills have. He's the most disruptive guy, but he's a quiet guy, and he's not going to bring, you know, the vocal part of the leadership aspect. He's going to lead quietly. He's going to work hard, and he's going to set a great example. But Jarris needs to bring that vocal part in. Quite frankly, those guys need him. Leotis and Ron Brooks and Aaron Williams and Gilmore, those young guys need him. And Denoris Searcy, my goodness, he has great talent and great instincts, but he needs Jarris' leadership back there in the secondary so he can become the player that he's capable of becoming. So, I mean, it's unfortunate. It is what it is, though, and I honestly I've had the conversation with him. What's the difference between $7 million and $9 million, $2 million? I realize that I'm smarter than a fifth grader, but in the realm of professional sports, I think there's a lot of other things that are more important than that extra $2 million, and one of them is being around like-minded players who, you know, have a passion for the game, and players who, you know, are going to be accountable for their performance, and you're going to go out there and build a winner. And this is the best place to be in my mind because you, what is it, 14 years?
13.
And the Murphys have a second television now that has never seen a playoff series.
13 years. Don't make it worse than it is.
13 years. So and you can be a part of something, that you can be a part of something that hasn't happened in 13 years. And you can take this team from where it's been in the last few years, which is not a very good place, and they have a core group of guys and the right leadership ability to make sure that they get to that next level, and then they make an impact. And Jarris has 5 or 6 years to do it. And I for one, think he'll be here. I'd like to have a conversation with him, but I think he's a great young man. He's a great asset for our community and for this team. But he's the leader on the defense, and the defense will be as successful as he makes it.
Mark Kelso, our guest on the line with us as we talk about the Bills and the Heads Up Football program. And as you mentioned earlier, Mark, the rookies are here. I mean, just arriving late this afternoon, they're on the field tomorrow. What's that like for a guy coming out of college, just drafted or maybe signed a couple of weeks ago, to show up at an NFL complex for his first weekend as a pro football player? What do you think that's going through their heads?
Yeah, there won't be a lot of, I mean, obviously there's some apprehension, but there won't be a lot of apprehension this first minicamp because it's all rookies. And I heard some people, the ESPN pundits, and they're going around to different mini camps and saying, well, we think this guy's going to make an impact and that guy's going to make an impact. And you have no idea what kind of impact a player's going to make when he comes in here to a rookie, the symposium or the camp, and he's competing against rookies. And some of the guys from smaller colleges are going to be overwhelmed, much like I was when you realize that every running back you're going to have to tackle is like 215 or 220, and you weren't playing against those guys. So, you know, the safety, which is named Dangerfield from Towson. Mm-hmm. We love those Colonial Athletic Conference guys, man. Those are great players from there.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, you say so.
And we got a guy. We got a future Hall of Famer out of that league. We got me out of that league. We got all kinds of great players out of that league. It's this defensive backfield. So, but then we got a young kid from Richmond. But I like what they brought to the table. Here's what you can tell in the minicamp, in the rookie minicamp. Is you can tell, you can look at a guy and you can say, this is the guy we thought we were getting. This guy's special. You can see a throw he makes. You can see an acceleration. You can see him change directions. You can see how he comes out of his cuts. You can see how he catches the ball outside his body frame in a competitive situation, because these guys will be hyped up and competitive and want to show their fellow rookie class what they can do. You know, I can remember when J.D. Williams was a first-round draft pick for us, and I remember we were in a one-on-one drill in minicamp. Now, these were the veterans were here, too, and he fell down on the play at the line of scrimmage and still made the play about 20 yards downfield. And that's where you say, now you don't know when he's going to turn into a great player, which he did eventually, or if he's going to do it that year. But you look at that and you say, man, this guy has some serious acceleration, and you understand that he has the tools necessary to do the job and compete and be very successful at a very high level. And that's, I think, the things that you can identify in these mini camps, and then for the quarterbacks, obviously, a little bit of the mental aspect of the game so that things aren't quite so overwhelming when they come in here at training camp.
Well, on the topic of cornerbacks, Mark, as you know, the Bills did not draft a corner in the draft a couple of weeks ago. We're looking at, obviously, Stephon Gilmore is solid. Leotis McKelvin re-signed to a contract. What do you think? I mean, who are we talking about for the number two, the number three, maybe even the number four corners on this team, with guys like, you know, Justin Rogers in the mix and Ron Brooks, and maybe there's somebody I'm forgetting about, but are they okay at corner, do you think, going into this midway through this offseason?
Well, I mean, I think they're okay for sure. I mean, Gilmore is really solid, had a great rookie campaign, and he'll just continue to get better. And Ron Brooks is great, but he was great inside the slot, which is where he's most comfortable and where he played his entire college career. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if they'll move him to the outside. Justin Rogers, I really like, and you know, he got beat a few times last year, and I think his confidence suffered quite a bit. And I mean, you have to have a mentality. You're going to get beat in this league. If you don't get beat, you're not doing the right things. You have to fail, and sometimes so that you can learn how to do it correctly. And unfortunately, that happened to him a little bit last year. I still think he has great ability. And I've always been supportive of Leotis's ability. He has more burst and more acceleration than any guy on this team. And you know, maybe Gilmore notwithstanding, I mean, I'd have to see those two guys side by side, but, you know, and because Stephon's a little bit younger than Leotis. But Leotis has great ability. Never, and everybody says, well, yeah, he got beat all those times. Never once was he out of position, was he in a position where he really got beat. He was in position to make the play. He just didn't make the play. And there's things that you can do from a drill perspective and a consistency perspective and a movement perspective to make sure that happens. And if that happens, but I think they set themselves up for a really good defensive secondary, because they've got numbers, they've got experience. Now they need the leadership, and then Denoris is a guy who I think has great instincts. Right now he's better in the box than he is in the deep half or the deep middle, and he needs to learn that, and he will learn that. And once he masters that part of the game where he's not as comfortable playing, then I think he's going to turn out to be a really good safety. And I would suspect that they'll move Aaron Williams to safety as well, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, he's there. He's there now. They've done that. What do you think of that transition?
Great transition. Although it's not as easy as people think. You know, people think that the safety's just back there playing center field. I mean, there's a different perspective. Your peripheral vision has to be expanded. Your keys, I mean, you have a run-pass key, whereas a cornerback, you're really focused on your side of the field. You have to see the entire field. You have to be a quarterback back there, and you have to be the guy that's in the film room all week long, making sure that you understand tendencies and formation tendencies and what's going on, and you have to put your guys in the best position to make plays. So that's your job, being that coach on the field, and your responsibility to help those cornerbacks, and it's different. You know, it's different. Some guys are good at that, and other guys are more comfortable on the edge, and it's going to take him a little while, and I'm sure he's done pretty well here in some of the practice sessions they've had now. But when it's live, he'll realize that movement is a key part of it, and keeping up your momentum and where your keys are and how you key the quarterback as opposed to what you would do as a defensive back. But I think he sets himself up nicely to be a really good safety. And I mean, he's a solid cornerback in my mind. He's not, his man-to-man coverage skills aren't as good as some other guys like Stephon or Ron Brooks, right, and what Leotis can do, I think. But he's a great cover two corner because he's good at the line, he's patient, he recognizes things well. So usually those guys can convert to safety pretty easily.
Well, Mark, rookie minicamp this week, OTAs next week, the mandatory veteran minicamp or mandatory team minicamp in mid-June. As I told you last week, I need you to get out here and get a look at this defense and tell us what we're looking at defensively. I don't know yet.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they're going to go to a 3-4, right? So, I mean, they're not going to – Mario's going to have his hand in the ground, I would imagine. And, you know, if they're coming from the Jets mentality, they're going to have – they'll probably be moving them all over the place. And he may not have his hand on the ground sometimes. And the only thing that I like – the only thing I didn't like about the Jets defense sometimes is it can be extremely disruptive. And I think, you know, I think I've heard people say they want to have an aggressive attack mentality. They want the offense to be dictated by what they're doing on defense. And that's okay sometimes. But as Marv used to say, if you live by the blitz, you die by the blitz. So if a team can protect and they can figure out your scheme, or if you're disguising so much that you're not in a good strategic position when the down starts, and what I mean by that is lateral positioning. So if you're not on your spot, and the offense can take advantage of those things. So if they're going to disguise and do all those things, they need to make sure guys are exactly where they need to be, because sometimes with voice inflection and quick count and pre-snap motion, they can break down some of those things, and then it becomes an advantage for the offense. So it takes a mature defense that's able to do those kinds of things and be successful, and I don't think they have that maturity yet. So it will be interesting to see how they mitigate that between all the disguise and the variations. With they need to play one defense or two defenses exceptionally well. They were awful in the red area, giving up touchdowns, what, like 75% last week. Was it 68 or 78?
I don't know.
Well, it was one of those two, which both of them are bad.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get off the field on third down. I think they were over 40%. I think they gave up 42% on third down. So both of those things need to be fixed. They can be fixed by a pass rush, hopefully a healthy Mario Williams. But they need... Hopefully they want to get him more involved, because they need to. And, you know, people had asked me, well, how do you think Mario was last year? And I mean, he's a physical specimen, and he's a tremendous force. But I think he only made a significant difference in a couple games last year, and he needs to make a significant difference in 8 or 9 games, because he needs to be a guy that the offense is saying, we need to know where this guy is. And because if we don't, he's going to be disruptive. And if that happens, they'll have a good defense. And if it doesn't happen, well, then it will be interesting to see and call those games.
Not that interesting. All right, Mark, thank you very much.
It's true.
All right.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks a lot. Mark Kelso, our color analyst. Now, I didn't know there was going to be a pop quiz involved. Now I'm looking up last year's red zone defense to find out if it was 68% touchdowns allowed or 78%. But thanks to Mark Kelso. He is the Buffalo ambassador for USA Football's Heads Up football program, and also always interesting thoughts on what's going on with the Buffalo Bills. Got some thoughts coming up from a gentleman who writes about contracts in all the professional sports, and he's got some thoughts on Jarris Bird's situation. We're going to talk to him next, Mike Giannitti from SpotTrack.com. He joins us next. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Here until 9 o'clock tonight, and our thanks again to Mark Kelso for joining us. Tomorrow night, we got a good show in the hopper. Going to talk to some of these rookies who are walking around the hallways here and see who we get in studio tomorrow. Ted Sundquist is going to join us tomorrow, the former general manager of the Denver Broncos when Mike Shanahan was there. He is all over football these days. You can see him on NFL Network, Ted Sundquist. And also tomorrow, we're going to talk with Mike Leach, head coach of the Cougars of Washington State, the former Texas Tech coach, and he is the coach of Jeff Toole, the free agent quarterback signed by the Bills a week or so ago. Mike Leach on tomorrow night's show. Well, right now we're going to talk a little bit. You know, Kelso got talking about Jarris Bird. We're going to continue that conversation by virtue of a website posting about Jarris Bird, a contract forecast. It was done by the folks at SpotTrack.com. And on the line with us is the man who founded SpotTrack.com, lives right here in Orchard Park, Mike Giannitti. Mike, thank you very much for coming on the program with us. We appreciate it.
John, thank you. No problem.
Tell me what SpotTrack.com is, first of all. What do you do on that website?
So it's been around for about 6 years. We started it basically just a resource to, you know, kind of collaborate salaries and contracts and news surrounding that with the major sports. And it's kind of evolved into a salary cap system, a tracking system for the team caps. And really what we're doing now is getting into rookie signings, draft signings, and big free agency markets, that kind of thing for the baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. And it's evolving as the analytics are evolving in the sports themselves.
And this is a sidelight for you, right? This is not your main job. You've been doing it for 6 years, though, you said, right?
Right. So I've been a a web developer, essentially, with my own business for about 10 years. And this idea kind of came about 6 years ago. And, started off as an inside hobby with a cousin and a couple of friends. And it's kind of grown into a business that needs more attention than I ever anticipated. So it's a hobby that's a full-time job that's also a second job.
And the website, spottrack.com, is geared towards fans, right? It's not an insider's thing, is it?
Right. I guess I'd say half and half. We didn't really gauge the community at first. It was more of a personal thing where we know we wanted to see this information and we figured other people did too. So fans definitely were the first to jump on it, the fantasy community. But of recent, I'd say the last two and a half years, the media, the news, the blogospheres, the people that actually write about this stuff and kind of push this stuff out there has really taken on to it and reached out and collaborated with me a little bit. And it's been a really nice situation for us, and I hope hopefully for them as well.
And the target audience among fans, I mean, are they stat guys? Are they fans of analytics when it comes to football? Are they, are they business people who like to know the business of sports? Who do you think the target audience is?
Yeah, I guess it kind of swings as the season goes along. This time of year, it's more of the business side as signings are coming in and free agency is big. And in season, we see a real, real big increase in the stats and the fantasy side of it. We try real hard to stay out of the stats on the site itself because so many media sources promote that and what's that. So we take those along with the financial information that we provide and kind of make the relationship work well. But yeah, it's a fluctuating community and it's growing more than we ever thought it would.
The website is spottrack.com, SPOTRAC.com, and the founder is on the line with us, Mike Jannetty, from right here in Orchard Park. For instance, Mike, I'm looking at the NFL site, the Buffalo Bills site, and on the Bills site, you have contract terms, you have everybody's current contract, the guaranteed money, the average salary. It's kind of a one-stop shopping for anybody who wants to know the contractual status of essentially anybody in the NFL, right?
Right, and 4 years ago, it was a lot easier. We were doing base salaries and signing bonuses when those existed. And now in 2012, 2013, with this new CBA, it's all about the salary cap. It's all about how much the cap figure costs, how much the team has left. The metrics of the site have had to evolve as the team situation evolved itself. So yeah, we've got a lot of different views for each team, and a lot of it is based around the salary cap itself now.
How accurate do you think the salary numbers are? Where do you get your figures from?
So the base salaries that I mentioned, those come directly from the NFL, and those can be found pretty much anywhere. So essentially that's the cash salary that the player will make this year. The signing bonuses come from our main sources. Each team kind of has a main beat writer, beat reporter that promotes those kind of things from within. And the real difficulty, the one I'd say is, less consistent as far as always being perfect would be your miscellaneous bonuses, which are workout bonuses, roster reporting bonuses, and obviously incentives that are based on performance or playing time. I'd say that's the only area where we're a little bit gray, but, the base, the meat and potatoes is pretty much, 100%.
And the interesting thing about the NFL tab anyway, Mike, and one of the interesting things is the salary cap figures. And you break it down for offense, defense, estimated total cap, rollover cap space. That pretty integral, kind of critical stuff when it comes to evaluating maybe why teams make the moves that they make from time to time, right?
Oh, there's no question. And it's interesting from our side to be able to see how that changes on a yearly basis, especially when new administration comes in, like it has with the Bills. And, the instance of this new rollover cap has been a big, big deal because what it does is it actually takes, teams' base salary caps and it increases it based on what they were able to save over last year. So you're seeing a lot of teams working that into this year's system as they sign players and, drop players and restructure contracts. It's a really, fluctuating line right now.
And it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it was probably 6 or 7 years ago now, the Bills talked about cash to the cap. More often, it seems, around the league, most teams are doing cash to the cap. In fact, they're forced to under the new CBA, pretty much, right?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, and that's kind of the battle we're fighting right now on the site is, we want to be able to show cash in hand and cap, the count toward the cap because, you know, from the player's aspect, obviously cash is the, you know, what they're looking to get. From a team aspect, it's less about how much the player's making today and more about how much is this player going to cost us in 3 years if and when, you know, we need to release, we need to draft a new player. So, yeah, it's when you're pushing up towards that salary cap, it's a whole different aspect of it from, you know, financial standpoint.
Our guest is Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack.com, and what brought us to Mike was his contract forecast for Jarris Bird, the Bills safety, who has still not signed his franchise tender offer, which would pay him $6.9 million. Mike, you've done a pretty thorough contract forecast for Jarris Bird, and the basis of it seems, is comparables, comparing, first of all, what Jarris Bird's performance on the field is like and what the comparable salaries are. Is that pretty much the gist of it?
Right. So we've kind of come up with a formula here for, at least for NFL players, that kind of, you know, collaborates stats, other financial, you know, figures, durability, things like that, to kind of bring in all the major points of what the contract would be, which would be how many years it could be, what the total value might be, and, you know, one of the biggest things now, which is guaranteed money. So we've kind of broken down each of those elements separately. And what we've done is we've taken four other safeties of the similar age with pretty comparable performance on the field, and we've used them as variable safeties.
So on those four other safeties, it's and if I'm reading this correctly, the average salary for these four, and it's Eric Weddle, Antrell Roll, Michael Griffin, and Deshaun Goldson, is $7.6 million over a five-year deal. That's what the average guy in Jarris Bird's position is making right now?
Right. So as far as the top salaries, safeties are concerned over the past few signings, that's what we're looking at as a base foundation, right?
And then you also, I think it's interesting, you know, you take into account Bird's performance, obviously, the fact that he is a, you know, he's a turnover machine, for lack of a better word, and that counts for something. I'm sure his agent think that's worth some money that maybe puts him at the top of the list of safeties out there.
Yeah, there's no question. That was one of the more unique things pulling out of this analysis is he's what you can consider, I guess, a five-tool safety. You know, you hear that in baseball, a lot of guys, five-tool, he's got multifaceted tools. That's something that I guess I didn't know so much about him going into this, but he, across the board, his stats were, if not better, right there with these top guys in the league. And at such a young age to have that kind of clout, I can imagine if it's a power position for him and his agent right now.
So under the franchise tender that he has yet to sign, he would make in 1 year $6.9 million. Now, you know, he takes risks if he plays under that this year, if he elects to sign it and play. What's SpotTrack's prediction of what that Jarris Bird contract would eventually look like?
So based on what we started with, that foundation, about 5 years, 7.6 per year, what we did is we took the statistical performance that he's compared to, and we've added a percentage of that, about 18%, to that figure. And what it came down to was we stuck with the 5 years just because, honestly, in recent years, we haven't seen a safety go 6 years. The 5 years seems to be the max barometer for these guys. So we came out with 5 years, $45.1 million, which is about a little over nine per year. And when we did our work with the guaranteed money, we came at about $19.6 million guaranteed, which is 43% of that contract.
And that would make Jarris the highest paid safety in the league. Is that correct?
Right about there, yep. If I'd say a little bit more, he'd be the number one, right?
And as you said, the guaranteed 19, just under 20 million. How does that rank as far as the guaranteed money for safeties, comparable safeties?
That would be top active.
Okay. Yep. So how do they get there, Mike? Here's the hard part, right? How do they get to that number?
Right. You know, there's a lot of good things going on as far as contracts happening this offseason. And to be honest, you know, the guy that he's been compared to most here is Deshaun Goldson, the recent Tampa Bay signing from San Francisco. And the great thing about that contract, which I think the Bills would be smart to take a look at here, is that, yes, there's $18 million guaranteed in that contract, but there's no signing bonus. So essentially what they've done is they brought in a 28-year-old guy with proven ability, given him a nice contract, given him a lot of money up front, but 3 years into this deal, he's got absolutely no dead money. And what I mean by that is, you know, if he's injured, if he's underperforming, if they've got a rookie who's cheaper and doing just as well, they can cut him in 2015 for absolutely no cost to their cap. So that's the kind of format you're seeing with these middle-aged, you know, second sophomore contracts coming around these days. You know, and you're giving the guys the guaranteed money, you're giving them cash up front, you're giving them 5 years, but what you're doing is you're making yourself team-friendly in that third or fourth year.
That sounds like that's the key. Maybe that's how it gets done. Mike, we're going to follow this. We're going to use your analytical tool, and we're going to keep an eye on SpotTrack.com. We thank you very much for coming on the show with us tonight.
Thanks a lot, John.
Mike Jannetty, he is the founder, the man behind SpotTrack.com, SPOTRAC, SpotTrack.com, and they have a very interesting contract forecast for Bills safety Jarris Bird, a forecast of what the money might look like if they do get a deal done with the Bills safety Jarris Bird. All right, we got more to come. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Oh, we're running out of time, and stuff's going on tonight. The Bills announcing moments ago that they have signed one of their draft picks. They have signed seventh rounder Chris Gregg to a contract. Let me fire it up here. Seventh round selection. Chris Gregg, the tight end, has agreed to terms and signed a contract. He was in the building today, participating in the kind of the walk around for the rookies who are here today. Terms not disclosed. Gregg, Arkansas product, 72 catches, 1,003 yards, 7 touchdowns in 43 games played for the Razorbacks. Third in the Razorbacks last year with 22 catches and a career-best 3 touchdowns. He had 41 catches the year before. The first of the Bills' 8 draft picks to sign with the team, tight end Chris Gregg, has agreed to terms with the Buffalo Bills. We expect more of those announcements probably tomorrow for some of the draft picks. San Diego Chargers not fooling around. They got a couple of their draft picks under contract today, including linebacker Manti Te'o. Their second rounder, Manti Te'o, has agreed to terms with the San Diego Chargers. Seems to be happening quickly this year, all around the league, apparently. Everybody getting their deals done with their young players. See if we can squeeze in a call. Bobby in Niagara Falls, you're on the air. Hello, Bobby, go ahead.
Hi, Murph. I got a quick question for you. What's your prediction in terms of the odds? Do the Bills sign Jarris Bird, or are they going to let him go? That's my question. Thanks very much.
Okay, Bobby. Well, he's not going anywhere this year. I mean, I think they're going to sign him. I do. I think they're going to sign him to a long-term contract. Jarris doesn't really have a lot of leverage and doesn't have a lot of good options here because, you know, he either accepts the franchise tender or, you know, or doesn't play, essentially. That's what it boils down to. So I don't think they're going to let him go. I think they're going to get him under contract, probably a long-term deal that might drag into the summer, maybe even into training camp time. But I think eventually they're going to get Jarris Bird under contract. And when you hear our last guest, and I want to thank again Mike Jannetty for joining us from SpotTrack.com. When you could do the comparables and look at the other deals that are out there for safeties and what's been signed recently, it doesn't appear like, you know, it's that difficult to find the number that both sides will agree upon. And I'm sure, you know, they're working on rookie contracts, going to get those done, obviously the bulk of them in the next few days here, and then, you know, probably get to work on Jarris Bird. So that's all coming down the pike. Tomorrow night, good show coming up tomorrow night. Mike Leach, the coach of Washington State Cougars. He coached Jeff Toole, the Bills quarterback, free agent quarterback. Ted Sundquist will join us tomorrow night, former general manager of the Denver Broncos. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO. Family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer, Matthew Collar. Our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton. Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. On the air tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.